Hey, closet busters, come on and gather around. It's time once again to kick down those closet doors of life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemens, bold move expert and coming out coach, and I'm going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloseted. So come on, grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step in to living your truth as we explore more stories, tips, and tricks for living your life uncloseted. Now let's get to the show. Hey there, closet busters and bold move makers. This is Life Uncloseted, where you know what we say, screw it, we're kicking down the closet doors, we're living our lives the way we want, we're setting ourselves free, and we're going to live uncloseted without any kind of apologies. And sometimes that may even mean we have to have some really power conversations and leave things behind. Yet, you know what? Sometimes taking that kind of step and having the nerve to do that sort of thing, man, it takes a whole lot. And today, my guest is going to talk about a lot of things that comes up in Powerful Conversation, which is her new book. But we're also going to talk about all of these different things along the way, from moving across the country right after she had a big setback in life to starting a brand new chiropractic practice, the things she's been in her life because she is bold enough to come out of her own closets and leave what may seem comfortable at times behind. And this is what her story is all about, is stepping forward and having, well, really having what it takes to say, I'm going to go do this. And I love that she is going to be here with us on the show today. She's another National Speakers Association member. Her name is Dr. Karen Jacobson. She's a high performance strategist and speaker, and she's a pretty amazing gal. I can't wait for you to meet her. So let's just get right to it. Welcome to the show, Karen. Thanks for being here with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And I love this new book. We're going to get to that. But you truly have, like, along the way, done some amazing uncloseting. I mean, you literally have left some things behind. You've started brand new. You've been, you know, in the military. You've done some amazing things. So when you think back over your life and all these different things, what's the driver that just keeps moving you forward, making those bold moves, living your life uncloseted? Is it one thing? I'm sure it's not, but what is the thing that you feel like really keeps you moving forward?
Well, you know, when I was listening to your intro, one of the things that really resonated with me is one word, and it's part of my personal values. It's freedom. Mm. It's freedom of expression. It's freedom of living the life that you choose to live, not the life that other people want you to.
Right, right.
And I believe that since we really only have one life on earth that we're going to remember at least, mm-hmm. regardless of whatever someone's personal beliefs might be,
yep.
live it well.
Yeah.
Live it well. And don't allow things to stop you from going after your dreams.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have moved forward, and I want to kind of touch base on a couple of things that you shared. So you literally got put in a situation living with a disability and just said, screw it, I'm going to go do this. And you moved across the country. Take us a little bit into that story, because I think that kind of is a perfect example of uncloseting yourself and making a bold move to go do the next thing you just know you're supposed to go do.
After graduating chiropractic school, I was living in New York at the time, and I had a practice. It was growing. It was really successful. And then I was in a head-on collision. And life had changed.
Absolutely.
I ended up with two plates and a dozen screws in my right arm and three pins in my fingers. And here I am. You know, I have a chiropractic practice.
Wow.
What am I going to do? And I need to use my hands for a living. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for me, it wasn't even the story, Rick, of what I did. Yes, I got up and I moved across the country, moved to Arizona. And, you know, I spent a year on disability and really learning how to do everything all over again, from, you know, brushing my teeth to writing my name and being able to use my arm again. But you know what the biggest gift in that for me was? It was the community that was created around me. At the time, I was the director of the Nassau County chapter for the New York Chiropractic Council. Mm-hmm. And there were probably about 100, 110 members. And after my accident, they started circulating a fax. Yes, those were the days of the fax machines. And they made a list of doctors that stepped up to the plate and volunteered to work in my office on their days off without charging me a dime to just help me sustain my business.
Wow.
Right after I came back from surgery in the hospital.
That's amazing.
And for me, those are the things that mean more in life than anything else. Mm-hmm. Because I think a testament to us is not necessarily always what we do, but it's the people around us that we connect with.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. And in this world of coming out and being who you're meant to be and all these different things, and, you know, really the basis of this podcast at this point, it's about showing that community gathers when you allow yourself to be open and say, this is who I really am. And suddenly you're not as alone as you think you may be. And what you just shared was a beautiful story of people rallying around you. And I'm quite sure it wasn't just because, oh, let's do something nice. There was some essence of who you are that brought that forward. And when I've worked with people who are coming out of the closet sexually, and then there's some others too, even in entrepreneurship, it's been very interesting to watch the same dynamic happen. Once you release yourself into, okay, this is who I am, this is where I am, this is the cards I'm dealing with, it's amazing if you let yourself be open to it, the community will form. What you need to support you, the people that you need around you, it's when you, at least from what I've observed, it's when you fight it that you have the struggles. The struggles really start to happen because you don't allow other people to come into the space with you and do the dance alongside you.
And it's because there's so many times where people will hold back because they're afraid to get hurt. Look, I grew up in a foreign country. I grew up in Israel. Mm-hmm. And I had been through two wars. I was bullied before people even talked about bullying. It used to be like, hey, they, you know, they pick on you because they love you. I'm like, well, if they love me, they wouldn't pick on me.
Pick on me. Right, exactly.
I've experienced emotional abuse. And the truth is that I grew up and I grew up in Israel, I learned to be tough. Mm-hmm. And I learned to have that little crust and built a little wall of protection. And when you build that wall of protection, people maybe cannot come in and hurt you because you've got that wall, but people really can't see truly who you are.
Absolutely.
And when you talk about stories about coming out doesn't necessarily, like you say, mean that somebody has to come out sexually. Somebody just has to open up the door for people to see, mm-hmm. this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And especially for someone like myself, who was a woman in a business that, you know, people would look at me, well, are you strong enough to, you know, to adjust big guys and football players? I said, yes, you bet. Even mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm not, a, you know, I'm tall and I'm athletic. But when, you know, at 5'8", 5'9", when there's a guy who's 6'4", 6'5", and is 280 pounds all muscle, they'll still doubt that. And then they look at me like, ooh, how do you do that? And so I played in that world where I had to be tough.
Yes.
And I had to be, you know, really coming from the point of using some of my masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And that was protective.
Oh, sure.
So in essence, part of my, you know, being able to open up to change was actually to allow in vulnerability. Mm. And when we look at the stories about how we create community, mm-hmm. it's because of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. When we allow people to really see who we are at any level, that's where authenticity shows. And people gravitate towards that because they see the real you.
All right. But you seem to have that history of allowing the vulnerability. I mean, I'm looking at all the different things you've done from this, you know, accident, head-on collision that, you know, caused all this for you, and going, okay, I've got to be vulnerable and I need some help, to being in the military in Israel, to being a ballroom dancer, all these things. Each of those things is about being vulnerable as a human. And then, you know, I'm going to go there. And then to be a woman doing some of these things, it's even 10 times more vulnerable because you're playing in some roles in some places where, yeah, here's this big muscle guy coming in for treatment. And people are like, really, you're going to do this? Or you're in the military and you're a woman being able to, all these things get just layer upon layer because of who you are. And that's got to be even more challenging to say, hey, I'm going to come out and I'm going to say, I can actually do this. It has to challenge your own psyche and your own viewpoint of yourself.
And I think that's part of my upbringing. You know, people ask me about the fact that I was in Israel from age 6 to 21. So I spent 6 years here in the U.S. and then I moved to Israel. When I moved to Israel, I was in the middle of kindergarten, and honestly, the second half year of kindergarten is a complete blank. And that was really a drive for me to create a number of things in life. And it was a blank because of the fact that I just moved to this whole new country. I don't speak their language. I don't know their habits. Yep. I don't even eat the same, you know, the same foods. We used to have like these like awesome, you know, sandwiches, and it's the only places in the world where I've seen them.
That's amazing. That's so cool.
But I also grew up at a time in Israel that was very idealistic and a time where there were really strong values and leadership was something that people followed and really being able, it was that time in Israel, especially growing up there and being there during the 70s and going through war, is something that I think shaped me in a way like remember those Weeble Wobble toys?
Yep, yep.
You push them down, they bounce back up. You push them down, they bounce back up. Mm-hmm. And I think I learned that.
Yeah.
That no matter how many times I fall, it doesn't matter. It's not about the falling. It's mm-hmm. about getting back up.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so pivotal to this essence of who we can be as a human if we realize the getting back up is actually the bigger challenge. The fall may sound like, oh, it's the worst thing, you know, somebody put me down or I'm failing. But the bigger challenge is the getting back up in my book. I think it's just, it's amazing that so many people struggle to like, okay, let's get back up and try again. But if you can master the getting back up, then you have this ability to continue to push forward, to go do the things you're supposed to do. In fact, I was working with a client a little bit earlier today and she was kind of at that space where she's like, I just don't know if I've got what it takes. And I said, okay, then don't. Just don't. And I knew I was going to push the button. I mean, I knew immediately as soon as I said that, just don't, it was going to push her button. And she goes, but I can't not. She goes, I can't not do this. I have to get up and I have to move forward. So it's ironic that you just brought that up because I think that's the piece of this that part of what you did is you kept getting up, you kept moving forward. And then here you are being someone who helps people step into their highest performance, you know, stuff in themselves. So how did that part of your life start to show up, you know, as you came from chiropractor to now speaker and helping people do this? What was the big transition that moved you into that space?
I always have helped people. I had been a tutor when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I had my first business. I started at 11. I started my babysitting business. I lived in Israel in a big apartment building, and I pretty much owned the rights to babysitting. I kept on moving forward. And I remember as an example, when I was in high school, I came down with an autoimmune disease, which is called systemic lupus. It's basically a disease where the body attacks its own tissue. Mm. And it showed up in my case. It started off where I had a butterfly rash on my face that looked like a second to third degree burn.
Wow.
Raised and red and scaly to the point where I had people stop me in the street and ask me what happened to me and other issues. And I spent 4 years while I was in the Army, in high school and then in the Army, in and out of hospitals. Mm-hmm. One of my dreams growing up, especially as I mentioned earlier, being so idealistic, I wanted to be a commander in the Army. It was all about how do we give back to the country.
Right.
And because of health issues, I was not allowed to do certain things outdoors. Mm. So even for that, I found a way around. I became a non-commissioned officer, and I still had 80 women under my command and took care of the needs of those women as well as the rest of the unit that I was working with. So it is about, you know, when you talk about living, you know, living out of the closet, I talk about living out of the box. And I said the only time when somebody's going to put me in a box is when I'm 6 feet under. Because from day one, we're just put into boxes and confined in systems that tell us how we need to be, who we need to be, and how we should live our lives.
Yep.
And I believe that every person has different ideas. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about total anarchy. I'm talking about within a situation, within a system, that if I live somewhere and I have to pay taxes there, I will pay taxes there. If I don't want to pay state taxes, I'll go live in a state that doesn't have state taxes.
Absolutely.
I'll accept the place of where I choose to live. And anything that I'm going to do is going to be to benefit the community around me. But what I do in my own time and how I live my life when it's ethical and moral, don't judge me and don't stop me from dreaming.
That's huge. I love that you brought this piece to the conversation of it is the same metaphor as living in a box. It doesn't matter if we call it a box or a closet. Each one of us, even in our daily lives, day in, day out, we get to choose whether we want to live in those boxes or closets. And I think it's the hardest piece that people struggle with. Do I want to be in the box of working for somebody else, or do I want to be in the freedom of running my own business? Do I want to be in the box of in a relationship that isn't really working, or do I want to step out and go, okay, I know the initial pain may be a little bit more, but I need the freedom to go find the relationship that really does work. And I think oftentimes that's where people get stuck, is they're like, wow, but I don't know if I want to go through the pain. But that initial pain may be exactly what you need to free yourself into the freedom of doing the things you have to do. And oftentimes that starts with the conversations in our own head, which kind of brings me to your new book about power conversations. I think most people, when they realize the things they're holding themselves back from, are often overcome by starting with a really powerful conversation with yourself, which then leads to having power conversations with other people. So tell us a little bit about this new book that is just, we're just days away from it coming out, or it will have been out by the time, it'll be out for a couple of weeks by the time we air this podcast.
Yes.
So talk to us about why it was important for you to bring this book out and give us like the lowdown on it.
So I want to address the book and tell you how it ties to the concept also of this self-talk that you were speaking about, as well as the measure principle, because there is a chapter in the book that talks about our self-talk. How do we stop ourselves from doing things?
Yep.
How do we speak to ourselves? What are the things that we do that hold us back from living life at large? And how to overcome that. There's some of the things, you know, when I work with clients one-on-one in breakthrough work, that's what I do with them. I help them find those conversations, the things that subconsciously motivate them, and find where the blocks are. Because let's put it this way, anyone's life, when you look at anyone's life, the way they're living, where they are right now, it's a direct result of the belief systems and the decisions that they make about life and how it should be. Even if they think that it should be different. There's something about their thinking that's actually keeping them exactly where they are. Now, when you talk about the pain and being able to make a change, our success lies just beyond the edge of that pain, beyond that fear.
Yes.
Because it's outside of our comfort zone. And when we look at making change and expanding and really growing into who we need to be and who we want to be, most of the time, it's because we made the choice that the pain of living in the state that we are in right now is greater than the pain of that unknown.
Yes. Yep.
And that will be about 97% of people. It's when it's painful enough where I am, that's when I'll go out finally, because it's now less painful on the outside. About 3% of the population are different. They'll jump off the cliff. Now, I'm somewhere in the middle. Mm. When I made my career shift and stepped outside from, let go of my, you know, my chiropractic practice to become a full-time professional speaker and high-performance mentor and coach, I took a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, I shifted from a B to C, and I'm dealing with direct clients walking into an event, and right there are my people that mm-hmm. are coming in as patients in the office, to a completely different world.
Absolutely.
To now work with, you know, business to business with medium-sized, small to medium-sized companies, and deal with building their teams and helping people really grow.
So what was the pain for you that drove you to that? What was that thing you said that was like, okay, I'm going?
So for me, it wasn't a pain. See, that's where one of the things where it was about 7 years ago, this is where some of the journey started. I've always done coaching and consulting within my practice. It was more like, hey, doc, you know, do you have some time? Can I pick your brain a little bit?
Yep.
And it was always no charge, because especially when you build a chiropractic practice with people that come in, you know, at times 2-3 times a week, and also you have high retention. I had high retention in my office. Mm-hmm. You know, I had people that when I moved to Arizona started with me, and I am still seeing a few people for the past, you know, for 19 years now.
Right.
I have a handful of people that still like won't go anywhere else, but have been with me for 19 years.
Wow.
And you form connections, you form relationships, and they want, and they look at, you know, they've looked at me as somebody that they could talk to and confide in and ask questions. And I realized along the way that so much of people's even physical challenges is connected to where they hold themselves back in life, where that pain is coming from, where they're not achieving their dreams. And it manifests physically. And I used to do that in the office. And I think it was Sydney, who was one of my patients. It was like my dad's age. And he was 81 at the time. Now, while my dad's 87 now, and he's a total rock star. My dad teaches 12 fitness classes a week.
Wow.
But Sid wanted to retire. Mm-hmm. And it was during the market crash in Arizona. Mm-hmm. His wife was in real estate. She was about 10 years plus younger than him. Mm-hmm. But she did home design. She could not get a job. So he went out and got a job. And he worked at Costco, sitting on a high chair. And anytime a client would come up, he would just talk to them about giving them an estimate for having their house painted. He would set appointments. Now, we studied his work and we studied his habits there. There was nothing there physically that would cause him problem. But here was a man who, when he walked in, had pain down the back of his leg. I'm sure that some of the listeners are familiar with sciatica.
Yep.
And he would come in with that. He started coming in with that. And I would work on him, started adjusting him, and he would start improving, do better throughout the week. And then when he would go to work, come back, and he would be worse again on Monday. Mm-hmm. And one day I sat during a conversation, and as I was listening to him, I got it. Mm. Because it wasn't the physical part. It was the fact that he was talking to me about the fact he really wanted to retire, and he did not know how to have that conversation with his wife because he wanted her to go and work and help out. Wow. There was too much of a burden on his shoulders and on his back that was manifesting physically.
It's just amazing stuff, because I've talked about this a few times on the podcast about the physical sides of this, and you know, I've recommended some Louise Hay stuff and things such as that, but I don't think people grasp how much our emotional well-being affects our physical body. And I'm going to be really just open here, like my listeners are used to, just in the move that I have recently made, I have seen the stress in my body change dramatically by being in a different location, being somewhere where I'm not in the hustle and bustle, and nothing wrong with Southern California. I love Southern California, but being in the hustle and bustle of city life, and now being where it takes me 5 minutes to go anywhere I need to go. I can walk out the door and I can walk to Staples. I can walk to the grocery store. I'm out in the fresh air. And it's amazing how different my body feels because one simple thing, my stress level is reduced easily by 100%.
And that, by the way, is the foundation of how I ran my chiropractic practice, because that's what chiropractic really is about. Mm-hmm. Many people think it's about backache and neckache. It has nothing to do with, it has to do with the stress that our nerve system is enduring, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, or whether it's chemical. Mm-hmm. And so that neuroemotional component that you talk about, that emotional stress, is a key factor. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really is now coming to light in the business world and in our world, thanks to Daniel Goleman back in the 90s, is emotional intelligence.
Yes.
And emotional intelligence, you know, when I work with companies and talk to them about emotional intelligence, I get into how our emotions can hijack our health. Because mm-hmm. that's where I weave in the conversation mm-hmm. about high performance.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure you weave in also how it affects, like I said earlier, your new book, The Power of Conversations. When we can understand the emotional intelligence, at least from my perspective, and I was lucky that I was kind of on the cusp of that coming out as I went through my training. It's interesting to me that when we can manage our emotions, our conversations become so much more powerful. When we can see the emotional IQ that's happening in those, suddenly it changes how we can approach a conversation and be so much more leveraged and understanding, empathetic, and really get done what we're trying to do through these conversations.
Without a doubt, because what happens is when emotion rises, logic drops.
Yes.
They don't live, they actually don't fire in the same place in the brain. So they compete. Mm-hmm. And high emotions will hijack our primitive brain, the old brain that we have, mm-hmm. and prevent us from logical thinking.
Yeah.
So one of the things that when I talk about power conversations, that's the language dimension of the high performance. Mm-hmm. When I work with people and I talk about high performance, the high performance triad really covers the three legs of leadership, which is self and others. Mm-hmm. And that would include our purpose in life, our attitude, our ability to change, and emotional intelligence. Our conversations, that's the language part, our communication. Mm-hmm. How we speak to ourselves and how we speak to others, whether it's one-on-one or one-to-many.
Yeah.
And last and not least, the third leg is our lifestyle. Mm. What do we do from self-care, from the minute we wake up in the morning? How do we charge ourselves? And how do we treat this vessel that we've chosen to embody while we're on this planet?
Mm-hmm. It's really
and in that, I bring in, because it's high performance, I'll bring in what people talk about, like life hacks. I don't mm-hmm. like to hack life.
Right.
I just talk about efficiency. Mm-hmm. Talk about being efficient and effective.
Mm. That's amazing. It's also interesting because as I'm listening to you speak, you went through the triad and it's about, you know, really truly leading yourself and others, which is exactly what the coach training I went through was. That's part of the piece of it. But then you talked about, you know, how you do this with other people and then the self-care. And so often when I work with people around coming out of their closet, whatever that closet is, it involves all three of those pieces. I tell them that you cannot do this unless you take care of yourself. But you also cannot do this until you learn how to actually really communicate well with others. And you cannot do this until you allow yourself to lead yourself and be a leader in other ways with other people's lives. And sometimes I get the like dead silence on the other end of the phone. If I'm doing phone work or, you know, if we're on Zoom or camera or something, I kind of get this blank look and they're like, okay, I get one out of three of those, or I get two out of three, but there's always that one piece that they don't get. And oftentimes the one that most clients don't get is, what do you mean I have to self-lead? I'm like, you have to put this into play. You have to guide yourself to this space. Yes, it's great to have somebody like me as your coach who's going to help you get there, but I can only help you bring up the stuff that you know is where you want to go, how you want to get there. I can help you, you know, be your accountability partner. But you owe it to yourself to lead yourself in the direction you want to go. And a lot of people miss that piece. And I'm wondering if you see that in the work you do, is this self-leading piece sometimes can be a huge stumbling block.
It is, because that goes into understanding the differences in personalities. Mm-hmm. And some of us look at the world and feel like we are in charge of our lives and we're in charge of whatever we create, good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. And some people feel that they're more of a victim to life. Life happens.
Yes.
Or things are random. Mm-hmm. Or then you've got the people that, well, I'm in charge most of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you're either in charge or you're not in charge. That's right. What I would say. Mm-hmm. Because you can't be in charge of the things that you like and not in charge when it doesn't work your way. Mm-hmm. You still had a hand in really running that ship.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, at times, people can have that epiphany and shift from a place of letting life happen, which is what we would talk more about, being the passive part and being a victim of life,
yep,
to being able to take responsibility. You know, when I share an interesting conversation, after I had the car accident, I was talking about the fact there were certain signs. I started thinking about a move to Arizona. Mm-hmm. And there were things that were popping up in my life. Like, I was bringing in messages. I walked around in Central Park, and there was a group of Japanese tourists that were walking by. And the only thing I hear out of their mouth that I understood was Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then where I was living, we had a problem with the fence, and the guy that came to fix the fence, mm-hmm, yeah, he was from Tucson, Arizona. And just things like that started popping up. And I was not really following through. I was just taking my time. It was just before my lease was up in my practice in New York. And I was about to say, if I sign another lease, it'll be another 5 years. And here I'd be, and I'd be, you know, 40 years old living in Long Island, which is not where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to what happened at the accident, I was in my Pathfinder, my car. Mm-hmm. I was traveling west. I was hit head on by a moving truck that was registered in Phoenix, Arizona. And I get to the hospital, and the surgeon lifts the x-ray up in the air and says, it's a clean break.
Wow.
4 months later, I was living here. 4 months later, I was living in Arizona. Now, that was something that caused me to pay attention. And when I shared some of the story and I talked about the fact that I take, you know, I said, well, I've created this. I manifested this. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, first of all, like, you know, somebody just, you know, randomly drove into you. I said, and that's a way to look at it.
Sure.
But the other question is, well, you know, why are you blaming yourself? I'm like, I'm not blaming myself. Just because of the fact that we take responsibility for events that happen in our life, it does not mean that it's blame.
Right.
Blame is when I put my emotion and I start feeling bad about it. But if I can take responsibility and say, okay, I brought this into my life for a reason. What am I going to learn from it? Mm-hmm. What action am I going to take, and how am I going to live my life differently?
I love what you just shared, because the reason I was so quiet there was I was thinking, this is so true to my own journey and so true to so many people's journeys that I've worked with. I manifested my coming out. I manifested it late in life. And when that moment really happened, which it was a moment I realized I was going to do it, it was, okay, I brought this in. Now, how do I go do this? How do I now go take and change everything that's happened after 13 years of marriage and 2 children? I knew I manifested it. Doesn't mean it changed any of the guilt and shame around, okay, that was a kind of a crappy thing to do, but I manifested it. And I knew it was the launch pad to something greater, which at that time I had no idea that it would lead to what I'm doing now. But it's those moments that I believe, as you so eloquently just shared, we manifest these things into our life. When we reject and try to not accept that that's what we've done, that's when the challenges just continue until you go, okay, I brought this to my life, so let's go work with it. Let's go do, you know, let's go do the thing. Let's deal with it. And we're kind of back to the powerful conversation that starts in our own head and starts to change our stories.
And that's what they all are. They're stories. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we all have them. Yep. It's not about the story. It's about what we do with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know what? I can't believe that we have flown through this already. It's been just wonderful having you here. But before we wrap it up, as you get ready to release the book and everything, I'm sure you've got a bit of wisdom you would just love to drop another value bomb on the listeners about if they're struggling to really truly release themselves and step into their own high performance life or to step out of their own closet. What would be something you'd love to leave the listeners with as we wrap it up here today?
So some people are going to be the type of people that make lists, and some people would be the type of people that dream. And either way, and see pictures in their head, either way that you do that, pick the right thing for you. Find a quiet space. And what I would suggest, look at your life and imagine or write down what your life would be if you actually took the step that you're looking to take. Mm-hmm. How wonderful it can be when you move forward. Mm-hmm. And then look at what it's costing you, what you're missing out on, how miserable you might be if you continue to stay where you are.
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect way to bring this full circle. And again, Karen's book is Power of Conversations. I would encourage you to get a copy of it. We're going to have the ways to get a hold of it here on the show notes and everything. Thank you for being you and being here and sharing yourself today, Karen. I can't wait. Karen and I have never met other than through some emails and Facebook and all that, but I really can't wait to catch up with you at our next NSA event, wherever that may be in the world for the two of us. But thank you for bringing everything to life like you do.
Thank you, first of all, for the opportunity, and thank you for your words of wisdom. It was great talking to you.
No, you too. And we will be back in just a few days, as everyone knows, with another episode of Life Uncloseted. But until then, never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into making your bold move so that you can live your life uncloseted. And that's it. That's a wrap. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end. But don't worry, we'll be back in just a couple of days with another episode with new guests, new tips, new tricks, new wisdom about how you can go live your life uncloseted. And you know what? A lot of people out there may not even know we exist. So if you feel so compelled, share us. Tell people about it. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. Share it from your phone, wherever you can, spread the word, because the more people that we reach, the better the planet will be when everybody is living their life uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of the show, that big, bold move expert and that guy that constantly wants to help people step out, step up, and step into living their life uncloseted. Have a great couple of days, everyone, and we will be right back with you very, very soon. Take care.